It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, contrary to popular belief, many leading large food companies no longer just exist to make as much money as possible. Global sustainability has become an important strategic objective, being good global citizens. Well, one of those leading companies is Kellogg's, and I'm happy to welcome Amy Center. And Amy is the Senior Director of Global Sustainability for Kellogg Company. Amy, welcome to Farm to Table Talk. What is your responsibility for Kellogg's?
Sure. So I have the pleasure of leading global sustainability for Kellogg. And for us, it's both around our environmental and social sustainability efforts, all the way from how our ingredients are grown and sourced through to how we manufacture our foods, all the way to how our brands and our partnerships kind of come to life in the store. It's really an important piece of our overall strategy as a company to continue to look at what we call kind of our heart and soul across the company and look at how we nourish with our foods and nurture our planet. And so that's where I get to spend a lot of my time. So really kind of a broad and diverse mandate, but all around how we look at that planetary health aspect to our work.
Well, Kellogg's has been around for, well over 100 years. At what point in time did it become important to create this whole new focus? Your job didn't exist, I would imagine, 15, 20 years ago.
It's really interesting because our founder, W.K. Kellogg, like you said, founded our company over 100 years ago. W.K. Kellogg has always had this a root around making sure that he was a good provider for his employees in the community, leading philanthropist, and really early conservationist as well. So there, we've looked in our archives and early days of W.K. Kellogg and our company had adverts about renewable packaging that we have. And so it's really kind of coming back to our roots a bit on thinking about what a unique position we have as a global food company that's still very kind of local in many ways around how we impact our communities through our agriculture practices, our sourcing practices, as well as through our manufacturing. That kind of overt focus and function of sustainability within Kellogg, as you said, is about 15 years old, so to speak. Our first corporate responsibility report was in 2008. That's when we set our first generation of commitments, which were from 2005 to 2015. We've been refocused on those topics more recently, but has been a thread across the heritage of the company for a long time.
You know, I think the image many people have when they look at large companies is think that what really drives them are just maximizing profit. I mean, looking at how you can get your costs down as low as possible, get your profits up, grow your markets. And those things are still important, I'm sure, to keep costs under control and to grow markets, expand, and be able to, as your products are shipped all over the world, I'm sure, especially certainly all across North America. But you have so many different products to do that. But then adding the dimension of looking at sustainability, it's not subjective. I'm sure it's objective, but you're setting standards and goals, but beyond just dollar return. I must have a question in here somewhere, because it just seems like for a company to recognize that, again, it's just more than maximizing how much income we can make for our business, for our stockholders. The sustainability, a regenerative agriculture, and all these things that takes a way of looking at it that must mean that you have a lot of communications to do to explain why this matters to employees and to people you're doing business with and your suppliers. So I guess I'm saying it sounds like you must have to be a missionary.
There's a certain extent of that work for sure. We often talk about ourselves as conveners on topics. You know, we are bringing people together to talk about these issues in a very collaborative way. And the other kind of interesting thing that is continuing to grow is being able to communicate how this is tied to those overall business integrated into our overall enterprise risk management, really helping to connect the dots for the business around both risk opportunities as well as growth opportunities. So it's really core to thinking about the long-term sustainability of the company in a true all aspects of the word sustainability. And so that's the way that we approach this. And so as we go forward, it's really exciting for us to be able to continue to communicate those sustainability objectives as well as the progress that we've made to all of our stakeholders.
So I would imagine that you could have a war room of sorts, that you could have whiteboards all around you and map out all that Kellogg's covers, everything from the farm through the manufacturing to all these other dimensions. That must be complex.
So to speak, yes. We have maybe a scientific whiteboard, so maybe a way to say it. We do pretty elaborate materiality assessments, and that is exactly what you're saying. We mapped out all of the different issue areas, topics, areas where we touch environmental or social sustainability areas, and map out where do we have ownership and influence, what kind of external risks or opportunities are out there, how do we map what is the most material or salient issues within those different topics, and how can we really drive change on those different topics. And so that's a whole materiality assessment that's done from kind of a scientific, rigorous perspective. And we often, through that process, solicit feedback from stakeholders who are knowledgeable about these things. So sometimes they're government stakeholders, nonprofit entities, NGOs in environmental or social spaces, our suppliers, retailers, etc. So we really try and cull a lot of data information and be able to assess where we have the biggest opportunities, and those are the ones that we prioritize in our work.
Mm-hmm. When you look at this big picture that you're trying to make improvements, then you identify how you would like it to be. Part of it, I imagine, you do have to explain, is some people are going to say, well, does this make us any more money? Part of that answer, I suppose, is not necessarily. You're doing some of these things just because it's good to do good. And as a citizen, you're doing the right things. I'm putting words in your mouth here because I struggle with this a little bit, because I do think a lot of people get challenged by thinking of it and saying, okay, but how are they making more money from this? But there's a certain amount of this that's almost altruistic. It just, isn't it, that you're creating an image that to your whole supply chain and to your customers too, that it's just the right thing to do, and you're going to get these practices in place because it's, you know, good for sustainability.
So there's a huge component to this work where we think about what we call our K values. So as Kellogg, we have a set of values that we all use as language within our company. And so about responsibility and being able to have the right ways of working as a company overall and as employees. We do try to quantify some of the other aspects to this work. So when we're doing things within our manufacturing that reduce greenhouse gas emissions and that they reduce energy use, there's often cost savings and other things that we can think about. You know, protecting our reputation is really important as well. So we really try and think about different ways to have the right data to support these efforts, in addition to the fact that we are a responsible global citizen and we want to do the right thing because it is the right thing.
It would be fair to say that there are customers increasingly that care about trusting a big company. And so I suppose that's where there's a value, that if you maintain a reputation that your customers believe you stand for something and believe you're doing the right thing, that they make decisions on what products are purchased, at least in part, on the fact that they trust, believe, and think there is a reputation that they want to align themselves with, I suppose.
That's for sure true, both for our direct customers in the terms of our retailers, as well as to the consumers of our food as well. You know, people want to know where their food comes from. How is it grown? How is it made? How are you being responsible as a citizen? People, we see consumer insights more and more say they'll, at a minimum, turn away from brands that don't share their values, and increasingly actively choose to partner with brands that demonstrate those values that they share. So it's an important and growing aspect, particularly for younger consumers. And so we want to be able to effectively share that story with them. It's something, as we've said, has been core to the business for a long time now. And how can we continue to share that story directly with those who care about it the most?
So it's possible that millennials are even more interested than, say, boomers or what the previous generations. So if you're looking for how the next 20 years at Kellogg's goes, doing these things, doing the right thing, also is a good business decision because it matters much, much more perhaps than ever.
Yeah, I would say so. It's definitely something that we want to continue to be able to share that story proactively. And, you know, as we have been active over the last 100 years, we want to be doing this for the next 100 years. And so it makes a lot of sense for us to be focused on sustainability going forward.
Okay, now we take it back out of the clouds. If you go back now to the farm.
Yeah, so have about 86% of our ingredients are plant-based at Kellogg. So we use a lot of grain production and as well as other key ingredients like soy and cocoa and chocolate and different kinds of oils and other seeds in the mix. So we use a lot of different agricultural commodities as part of our sourcing. And we have priority ingredients that we do work on within our commitments to having responsible and resilient supply chains. And through that work, as we were just talking about, we're going through right now materiality assessment around what in 2020 Kellogg's, what are those most important ingredients and how do we drive the biggest impact for farmers in those supply chains for those lands, as well as tied to our products and to our foods. So increasingly, we're looking towards how we can have even more diversity in the types of plants that we use. So we have a lot of plants already. That's great. But how can we look at creating market signals around having more variety in our foods that can help around diversifying kind of the farm landscape, diversifying the farm assets, as well as the kind of nutrition and well-being benefits of having more variety in the foods. So when we think about things like pea protein or, you know, sweet potatoes or legumes in our foods, those are things that we can continue to think about, innovate against, and have really great kind of good for me, good for planet benefits that we can think about going forward.
You know, in fact, the presentation you were going to be making at Natural Foods Expo West was talking about eating a diverse plant-based diet is beneficial for people and the planet. What do you emphasize when you're promoting the plant-based diet?
So with consumers, I think it's really important to start with kind of the me proposition. So, you know, why is eating a diverse plant-based diet good for me? And that's where you can really lean on the physical well-being aspects. But increasingly, as we just talked about, people would love to be able to understand the kind of halo benefit of planetary health as well, in addition to that personal health story. So when we think about how we look at cereal being a climate-friendly breakfast option. How can we look at the benefits of having more diversity in those foods too, from a biodiversity perspective, from a soil health perspective, when we think about crop rotation? Those are the things that we want to really start exploring more going forward. And it could provide a really interesting opportunity for there to be a really clear business case for the farmer as well, as we think about, you know, getting converting a cover crop from just a cover crop to also kind of a cash crop and things like that. So those are things we'd like to further explore and work collaboratively with other companies like ourselves, with our suppliers and others to think about those as opportunities to scale up.
Do you have direct relationships with some farms that they know that everything coming off that farm is going to end up in a Kellogg's product?
So generally, we are not directly contracting with farmers. We're working with kind of a miller or someone between us and the farmer, so flour miller or something like that. But what we've done is started to build what we call origins projects. So programs focused on sustainable agriculture that are normally us farmers, a supplier, and normally either a technical or nonprofit partner as part of those. We have 40 programs like that around the globe that reach about 330,000 farmers. So we are really trying to build out our relationship with those farmers directly. And that has been a really great asset for us. So, for example, we're based in Michigan as a company. And so we have a great program that's nearby to us in what we call the Thumb area of Michigan, so Saginaw area of Michigan. And it's one of the most important watersheds for the state. For example, in Michigan, we work with farmers, our supplier in that area in the Saginaw Bay region, the Nature Conservancy, and a number of other partners to really invest in sustainable agriculture practices. This area has really wonderful kind of diverse cropping systems already. There's where cover crops are already being used to a certain extent. And so we're working with to incentivize and invest with farmers to build our relationship with them directly, as well as to start to drive some environmental benefits. So we're looking at how can we quantify and measure the soil loss reductions that we're seeing on the land and things like that. So we're really excited about those types of partnerships, because not only are they quantifying the impact that we have on the world, but also it's allowing us to really build relationships directly with farmers as well. And we're able to go and spend time with them, with their families on their farms, both for us as well as for others in Kellogg. As I mentioned, we have 40 programs that we call Origins programs around the world, which is us working in partnership with farmers, our suppliers, and some sort of nonprofit and or technical partner in a particular geographic region. Through that program, we recommended conservation practices on nearly 63,000 acres of farmland. And so far, we've helped to prevent nearly 3,500 tons of soil from running off the land into the Saginaw Bay. So what's really great about that program is that it's not just the great work about us partnering with farmers and working in that region, but we're really starting to quantify the benefits to the ecosystem in that region. And we have other programs like that all across the nation in Illinois, Nebraska, Arkansas. And so we really are trying to drive similar programs that are focused on outcomes that also have benefits and incentives to the farmers and in those regions.
So are you able to look at starting at the farm and all the way up through the system, be able to measure progress on what you're doing in, say, reducing greenhouse gases?
So So as part of our programs, we have certain projects that are really focused on greenhouse gas emissions. Other projects are looking at kind of runoff challenges. And so within each program, we're able to quantify the benefits from an environmental or social perspective in each Origins project. And so that is allowing us to understand what's working, what kind of practices we need to be encouraging across the whole supply chain, as well as be able to quantify the impact of these different practices and build a business case behind them.
You know, it's exciting what you're doing. I think it is always a challenge trying to explain it or communicate it. You're doing a good job in our conversation today, but it just reminds me how difficult it is if you're a consumer and you're buying some products and you would like to know that the company you're buying from is committed to sustainability and want to know more about the story as much as they can all the way back to the farm. How do you do that? How do you make that story? Right now, if they buy some of your any of your products, there's nutritional information and ingredient information that's required by law on the package. But I don't believe there's a consistent way demonstrating sustainability necessarily. How are you trying to do that? How are you trying to communicate what you're doing all up and down the chain so that consumers buying your product can have a feeling of some assurance?
So it is. It's a real challenge and something that we have different approaches on in different parts of the world. So in certain markets, like in Europe, certifications really do have a lot of weight and understanding within the consumer base. So we look at certifications as a way to measure, sometimes through our own kind of certification systems or through third-party certifications that exist. In the U.S., I would say certifications have much lower understanding and kind of penetration across the board. And so what we find to be the most effective, which is sometimes overly simplistic, is just storytelling about the farmers that grow our foods and the great things that they do. And sometimes it doesn't really allude to the scale in which we're doing it, but it really puts a face to the story. So for example, we'll work with a customer in terms of like a retailer to share what one of the local farmers, have them be on and share what they do and how they're growing responsibly. And we find that to be really effective because it's a way for people to understand and kind of build a little bit of trust in that about the food that's in, you know, that they're purchasing, as well as better understand kind of the fact that they're not far from a farm most of the time. And there is local stories that they can learn from and be able to be supporting that local rural community through their purchase. So there's lots of different ways that we can go about it. And it's really understanding both at that local level, what are people going to kind of resonate with, as well as what it does the brand stand for and where do we want to lean in?
You know, you don't have the advantage of being able to set up at farmers markets. You know, it's when you have a brand like you have that is distributing all over the world, the communications job is just a big challenge because at farmers markets now too, you can go buy granola and other products that are very, very, very local. But it seems like the challenge is that the fact that people that are concerned about how their food's grown, they don't have to just limit it to what they're, you know, they can go to stores and they can go online and they can deal with checkout companies like yours to see that they're making progress. So I guess the thing that I think about now looking ahead, how do you see this space evolving over the next 5 or 6 years? I mean, you're telling a story. You mentioned earlier that there's some of the younger consumers, certainly millennials are seem to be more and more important. And I know a company like yours is doing some forecasting of what future trends are and so forth. So what's your feeling about what the future of working in this space looks like?
I think the most fun part about working in this space is that I'd say every 6 months, I feel like I kind of have a new job because there's always some new topics, new areas of focus. And I think increasingly the time I spend personally with our commercial organization and our communications colleagues has only grown since I've been part of the Kellogg sustainability team, and especially in my current role as chief sustainability officer, because that is something that we see that continues to be important for our retail customers as well as for our consumers. And so, you know, a huge opportunity for us to continue to develop where we want to go. I would say that that will only increase. I think the other piece that is on the horizon is around this kind of claims area around what can you say? How much is enough, and what is the goal? And I think that's something that a lot of us are working on pre-competitively as we think about how do we make sure we're driving the right impact and the right scale, and what are the different drivers that we can push on? And that's why we're really excited about the work around diversifying our plant-based ingredients, because that's a way for us to drive progress on the food system at scale and be able to do that in a really game-changing way is our goal. So as we continue to do things around continuous improvement on existing supply chains, can we find a new way to do something that drives a step change in performance?
You know, Amy, I find I'm running into more and more people that want to be on journeys similar to yours. They have a hard time maybe articulating exactly what it is they want to do, but they like the idea of being connected with food. They like the idea of having being grounded in agriculture. They like the idea of working with a progressive company that's just trying to do the right thing. And I think about that because as I talk to you, I can tell you're enthusiastic, but I'm guessing that when you went to your high school guidance counselor, they didn't say, well, Amy, you should go to college so you can grow up and be the director of sustainability for a large company. I mean, it just didn't exist. I mean, how did you find yourself on this track? How did you end up? Because again, I think when you were going to school, before you decided where you're going to go to college and what you were going to major in, these jobs didn't exist.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting challenge that we have, and again, all of the fun of it, the fact that it changes every 6 months because there's a new area, is also a big challenge with how do you stay engaged and up to speed. So even when I was doing my master's, when I got my master's, kind of in the sustainability space. So I have a master's of science in environmental policy and planning. So looking at kind of that sustainability area. But I can tell you, even then, which was not that long ago, the whole social component of sustainability was not part of the conversation. So human rights and all of those things, those obviously the topics existed, but it wasn't around how do we look at kind of the environment and social interconnectedness and how would that apply in a corporate setting. Even corporate at that point really wasn't an area on the sustainability side of things, environmental sustainability side of things either. For me, I went from my master's into USDA, which allowed me to get kind of exposure to agricultural programs and systems and kind of farmer events and things like that in the intersection with environmental policy. And so then when I came to Kellogg after that, I was helping to address an opportunity that we had with Kellogg where we knew we had manufacturing sustainability commitments and we knew there was something around doing agriculture. And so the person that brought me on was saying, hey, this person kind of knows both sides of the house here and she can maybe help us think through that in early days as I was coming in as a manager. And so from there, I just stayed with Kellogg and have kind of moved through the ranks. But I think when I spend a lot of time with people at universities and kind of informal kind of mentoring situations, because I didn't know at the time that these roles existed, and I don't think I was aware of how quickly the topics changed as well. So I think the fact, you know, what I would counsel is if you're interested in this space, talk to people who are in the industry. That's one big way to help understand what is the current state around opportunities. The other thing I would say is interdisciplinary is really important. So if you're interested into this kind of food, sustainability, agriculture nexus that you just walked through, you need to kind of get up to speed on all of those topics. And what's the next one, right? Water security. I spend a lot more time with my nutrition colleagues than I did a year ago, because those kind of conversations are starting to meld as well. Good for me, good for the planet, personal health and planetary health are all coming together. And so understanding that those are leaping points into a more sustainability focused agenda, I'd say is a way to start to tackle that kind of career path.
And I suppose your competitors, if you will, but the other large companies of good reputation, they're all creating jobs like that now, aren't they? And even the supermarket chains as well?
Yeah, I would say most big companies have a sustainability function somewhere within the company. They tend to be small. The other thing that I've given a lot of counsel on for people who are coming out of like my degree path from my master's is, there's nothing wrong with getting a job that's not necessarily explicitly sustainability if you're in a company that has sustainability mindset. So, for example, all of our procurement organization does sustainability work, even if their job isn't like sustainability manager. So, you get to touch that space and then find a way in. If you really want to lean into that further, there's opportunities to do so with a more sustainability focused job, but every role within procurement has a aspect of their work that is being aware and engaging their suppliers on sustainability topics. And same is true with our commercial organization more and more in our nutrition teams and whatnot. So that's really, I think, another piece to it. You know, yes, there are a few sustainability jobs, I'd say, in each major company, but another path would be to go in more of a conventional role and bring sustainability into that role with you.
Well, that's great counsel. And I do know there is a lot of people that are very, very interested in this. And I think farmers that are interested in understanding what's happening on upstream from them and know that they're a part of this whole movement. So I really appreciate having you on Farm to Table Talk. Amy Center, the Senior Director of Global Sustainability for Kellogg. Amy, if people would like to find more information on the programs that you're involved with at Kellogg, where do they find it?
There's two websites that I would recommend. One is openforbreakfast.com. So that is a website that we have. You can learn all about our work around philanthropy, sustainability, and well-being. And you can also submit questions that you might have to us, and we will come back and answer them. So openforbreakfast.com is one. And the other place is KelloggCompany.com. You can find our corporate responsibility report and all of our associated vast amounts of information on technical aspects of sustainability are all housed on KelloggCompany.com.
Well, it's great. I really admire what you're doing, and keep up the good work. Thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.